DJ Durkin is licking his chops at the current SEC quarterback situation. Welcome in to the last call. How about that intro? Shout out to Christian for that
intro.
Yeah, that thing that slaps. That's a headbanger right there. That'll make you want to put your head through some drywall. Okay, that's a good one. That's some good music right there. But like I said, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McClain. This is the last call. Welcome in. Come one, come all. We are talking about the current SEC quarterback situation because if you have been reading the headlines across the SEC today, it's been a lot of teams being like, hey, we're going to put our faith in a true freshman. A lot of teams. And for someone like DJ Durkin and his returning defense that he has, he's chomping at the bit. He's licking his chops. He's ready to go because he sees he can throw everything he has at some inexperience in the SEC. So, Graham, I kind of throw it to you. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, they kind of talked about this on Blackerby and Brad today about the whole, you know, teams announcing their quarterbacks if they, you know, feel like they had to or if they wanted to. But yeah, in the last, you know, couple days, big teams like Alabama, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and there's a couple more, but have all come out and, you know, said, all right, this is our guy. And I think it makes sense, obviously, because fall camp was ending and now they kind of have to get into like real season, like prep, like for their first game. And so you have to figure out who's your quarterback once you start, you know, practicing for seasons coming up, for the season coming up and for your next opponent, which is only in, you know, I think like 10, 11 days or 10 days from now, which is so exciting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Auburn's defense this year has a very good opportunity to take advantage, one might say, of some of the quarterbacks that have been named as starters. And obviously they're going to be not bad. Obviously, like, they did earn the job as a starter in the SEC. That's not easy, but
right.
Two of them are of our opponents that has so far been announced are true freshmen. And I was expecting a third one, except it got named today that the Vanderbilt was not going in the direction of Jared Curtis as the QB1. However, I don't know how long that will last. I think there's a good chance that by the time Vanderbilt plays Auburn in Jordan Hare this season, Jared Curtis is the starting quarterback, which then again, that is a true freshman. So how I see this is I see that Durkin is going to be like, oh my gosh, yes. True freshman who haven't seen college football, has not seen a college defense other than their own and in practice. This is the fantastic opportunity to use your experienced defense, what you have. Obviously, we have guys that have been here now for 3 or 4 years, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 years, who've played a ton of snaps in this Durkin system, can really take advantage of a quarterback who hasn't seen a ton, who, you know, you can pull all this stuff out of a bag and do all these stunts and, you know, blitzes and everything that will throw someone off that they don't have a good game. And I think Auburn has a fantastic opportunity to do that. The other quarterback that was a true freshman that I was talking about is Keelon Russell from Alabama. Obviously, who knows what that will look like by the end of the season. Keelon might be a phenomenal player by the end of the season. It's definitely possible. And it doesn't really matter at that point. But the other one is Tennessee. And I don't know how to say his name. I think it's Faison Brandon. he's been announced as the Tennessee starting quarterback. Like I said, he's a true freshman. First time that the Vols have gone with a true freshman in a season opener since 2004. But yeah, Auburn plays them relatively early on in the season. I think they're our third SEC game. I think we go Florida, Vandy, Tennessee, and then we play at Tennessee. So that will be really interesting. But like I said, I do think, you know, since it's earlier on in the season, like I just said, Auburn has a good, you know, chance of taking advantage of this opportunity and freak the guy out a little bit and cause him to play back, which we've already talked about on this show in the past, that that game, that Tennessee game, could be a top, like, could really be, and you feel really confident, I do as well, about that game, how Auburn could go in there and beat Tennessee. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, and my thing is, too, with, you know, some of these true freshmen coming in, yes, well, I'm fully aware, you know, that Keelan Russell is a all-world talent, okay? There's a reason why he's playing quarterback at Alabama, okay? I understand that. But when you have players like Xavier Atkins, Elijah Melendez, for example, just to name a couple, that have the experience that they have in the SEC in a Durkin system, do you not think on a play where Durkin just says, let's peel, you know, pin our ears back and let's just go get them? Could you imagine seeing those two individuals break through the offensive line about to rip your freaking face off? Could you imagine that? Like, you know, not even the first play, second or third play, being like, oh crap, like I got to get the ball out quick. And that, you know, you try to get it out quick, your timing's off, your, you know, progressions are off, 1-2-3 or 1-2 throw, you know, whatever you want to call it. Could be a pick, pick six, turnover, whatever, just anything to throw them off. That's what could happen with this. And I think that's why Durkin is like, yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm curious to see how that'll play out. I did think, like you said, that Vanderbilt was going to name their other guy, because I mean, that's what everyone was saying.
I think everyone expected, like, Jared Curtis, he's a five-star quarterback and I think one of the top in the country. And I think everyone was like, oh yeah, no, like that's penciled in. He's a starter, especially because he's going to Vanderbilt. Like he's right. Got no competition there. And so, like, people are like, he's not starting. Mm-hmm. All right. But can you imagine at, say, you know, gosh, another hard name to say. Blaze Berlewitz. Name though, actually. Legendary name. Blaze Berlewitz.
That sounds like a character from like an off-brand Sandlot movie. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know you know about Rodriguez, but have you heard about Blaze Berlewitz?
But say something goes awry and he doesn't have the best start to the season. Obviously, we play Vanderbilt, I think, week four. So that, you know, that gives him a couple games to try it out and maybe even an SEC game before they play us to see if he is capable. And if he's not, and Jared Curtis does, you know, kind of get that nod to be the next guy up, can you imagine Jared Curtis making his first ever SEC start on the road in Jordan-Hare Stadium? We've seen it before, and unfortunately, we've lost that game. But
yeah.
And the example I'm currently talking about is Oklahoma 2 years ago when we played them at Jordan-Hare against, I forget his name, but he was decent.
Oh, he looked like a freaking Heisman candidate against us. It was like the long run he had.
Struggled like the rest of the year. It was right after Jackson Arnold got benched at Oklahoma. And then Jackson Arnold later that year won the beat Bama. Such a weird year for them. Yeah, but anyway.
Very, very odd. Very odd.
Still, you know, we are a different team now than we were 2 years ago. And so it would be interesting to see if, you know, Auburn could take advantage. Say, hypothetically, Jared Curtis got his first ever start in Jordan-Hare.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how that plays out, because I really I know this is a different team in terms of, you know, who we brought in at head coach. I mean, no duh. You know, our offense is basically completely different now. Defense is still the same. The chemistry, like I've hammered home so many times on this show, is still there. Okay. I like our odds when it comes to a Durkin defensive mind going up against a true freshman that, you know, all it takes is one big hit, you know, from your blind side where you are just absolutely, especially if it's from Xavier Atkins or Elijah Melendez or, oh my God, could you imagine like him, like someone getting sandwiched by those two?
Bro,
they might die. You know what I mean?
A hit from Elijah Melendez by itself might get you.
It'd be like the I can't remember the term of what it is in the Marvel movies, but when Doctor Strange puts your like conscience out of your body, you know what I mean? That's what it would look like. You'd be like, whoa.
I mean,
you
know what I mean? Like gone. Picture I see of Elijah Melendez, he looks like a bigger human being in the next one. Like, I'll see a picture, I'm like, wow, like he's a large human. And then like a week later, I'll see another picture. I'm like, he's bigger. I don't know how. And somehow he has gotten to be a larger human being. And it's scary. Like to see his, I remember like when he flipped, I think from Miami or it was one of the Florida schools. I think it was Miami, but he flipped from Miami to Auburn back when he was being recruited. And I remember hearing about all that and, you know, seeing pictures like, wow, this kid, like that kid's a stud. Like you just look at him and he's got everything you want as a linebacker. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, still high school size. And then obviously even his freshman year last year, he you know, still not like, I mean, he was big, but like compared to what he is right now.
Right.
Holy moly.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's a freak. But you know what else will make you look like an absolute freak is a shirt from ashirts.com. I was trying to make that work and it I promise you, you won't look like a freak, but you will look like an absolute fan with AUShirts.com. So again, you see or you know some of the options that we have, including the FE Iron shirt, which is my favorite. So again, if you go to AUShirts.com, buy something, and you get it in your hands, and you put it on a game day, whether you're at Baylor for the game in Atlanta, a home game in Jordan-Hare, on the road, or from the comfort of your own home, or even your tailgate, please tag me, Graham, or the Auburn Daily, and let us know that almost messed up. And let us know that you are repping your gear from AUShirts.com. So again, that is AUShirts.com.
Yeah. Also, go to buyauburn.com while you're at it, and be who you say you are, and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you're a business owner looking to get your business on an index that is full of other companies run and owned by Auburn fans, then buyauburn.com is the place for you to go to do just that. Or if you're just a customer looking to support the fan base and the Auburn family, then go to buyauburn.com as well to get all of your needs straight from Auburn fans. So go to buyauburn.com today to sign up or to search the index.
Yes, please do that. Every time you know, it grows, it's growing by the handfuls. So again, if you know anyone with any ties to Auburn University and has a, you know, like a local business, why not tell them about buyauburn.com? What is stopping you?
Absolutely.
Graham, moving on to the back end of the show, there's been so many just different articles. What do you want to kind of break into when we can, you know, kind of spread them out, you know, throughout the week? But there, I feel like so much has happened the past couple of days, whether it be, you know, a Saints defensive end signing with LSU or just anything that's been going on. What kind of catches your eye?
I don't know. I'd have to look. You're right. I mean, there has been, I feel like, a ton of stuff. There was a practice. Obviously, they had a practice today. And one thing that I really liked that came out from that practice is media got to talk to Cody Sigler a little bit. Obviously, don't know who Cody Sigler is, he is an Auburn defensive tackle who came in from, I think Arkansas State is where he was, but he's come all the way from like D2 or somewhere like that from the beginnings stages of his career. And has had to work his way up to, you know, obviously now being at the SEC level. And he's impressed a lot of people and you know, turned a lot of heads this fall camp and going into this season. But like I just said, Auburn, you know, media got a little bit of time with him today, got to ask him a couple questions after practice. And this is a quote directly from Cody Sigler after practice today. It says, and I quote, "I hate being called a high effort guy. I think that's just because of what I look like. They call me a high effort guy, but I don't really care. I just watch the tape after the season, and I bet they won't be calling me that no more." I mean, absolute stud being like, hey, like I know, like I've come from, you know, a different place, and I, you know, I might not look like, you know, the guy who can be good at this position, but at the end of the day, like I know what I am, mm-hmm. and I know what I'm capable of, and I don't want to be called a high effort guy. Like I just want to be like, oh yeah, that's just a dude doing his job out there, like 100%, like he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I that really impressed me, you know, among all the other things that we've heard from Cody Sigler this fall camp, now heading into to football season.
Yeah, I agree. And what I like to, and again, this has to do with the culture that Golish has instilled in this football program. He just sounds like he comes from that same thread, if you will, if that makes sense. I hope it does. We just need to be able to back it up on the field at this point. I'm getting to the point now where I'm hearing a lot of talk. We need to, I guess you can say, walk the walk. You know what I mean? And that being, let's go absolutely wipe Baylor clean week one and do the same thing to Southern Miss the next week. And then Florida, I know people have been saying that the Baylor game is going to be the measuring stick for us, but I really think that Florida game is going to be the telltale because it's a primetime game. I know that the Baylor game is a primetime game. Please relax. I can hear y'all now. I know. I'm aware. I get it. But that is an SEC matchup. Golish and company beat them in the Swamp last year, so they're going to be out for blood in that game. That game is going to be way bigger than people realize. So him saying that gets me, again, cautiously optimistic, but excited that we have someone like that that's protecting Byron Brown. Because, again, they know at this point they should know what his tendencies are as a quarterback. If he's going to, you know, we can block for this long, but if he, you know, feels like he needs to go, he'll go. Okay. Our offense has chemistry that is an advantage to us. I said this yesterday. That the receivers know exactly where Byron is going to put the ball, and Byron knows exactly where the receivers want the ball. Okay. All that combination together, including what he said, how he doesn't want to be known as this type of player. Okay. I think that's going to translate into them having a little chip on their shoulder, and a Auburn team with a chip on their shoulder is dangerous. It always has been. And you know, people are going to kind of roll their eyes when I say this, but whenever we've been good, we always crap the bed. It never fails. You give me, besides the Cam Newton year, besides the year that we had miracles happen, literal miracles happen in 2013, name me a year where we were really good and we could back it up.
The only other time
2004.
The only other time I could think that is 2017.
But we didn't go to a natty, though.
No, but I think a big part of us not going to a natty that year was because Kerryon
got hurt. I agree.
100%. I think if Kerryon stayed healthy, I think there's a decent chance that Auburn could have made the national.
100%. 100%. But besides that, and besides...
Yeah, besides that, no, years, I ain't got...
We always...
The last time Auburn was like... legitimately competitively good, I feel like.
Yes.
Like, to win a natty.
Relevant, yes. Relevant to win a natty. I 100% agree with you. But this is the year that it has to be different because the fandom is hungry for wins. We have had 5 years of pure nonsense, and it sucks.
I think it's one of, if not the worst, five-year stretch in Auburn history.
I agree 100%, and you're not wrong because it is. You thought... You know, what that year after, you know, it was after Cam left and good buddy of mine, Barrett Trotter, was a starting quarterback. And we had I think that year we went 8-4, made it to a bowl game. We won in the bowl game against Virginia, I want to say, or Virginia Tech. I think it was Virginia, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. I was like,
but the following year after the Barrett Trotter year, we went 3-9. And everyone's like, well, hopefully that never happens again. You know, and I don't think that's going to happen with Golish. At all. That's not what I'm trying to say here.
Something has to go extremely wrong if we win.
Yes, if something goes 3-9, wrong. Yeah, something would have to be absolutely, like, I don't know what would happen or what would have to happen.
That means we would have to, like, I mean, like, you look at our schedule, Samford should be an automatic win, Southern Miss should be an automatic win, and you're like, that means we'd only get one more win after that. And, like, if we can't beat...
That's like if we beat Baylor, Southern Miss...
Or a Baylor, like, if we can't beat... one of those or two of those, there's a serious problem.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be the case. What I'm trying to say, though, is we are hungry for wins. There is a post, and I'm sure everyone has seen it, that, you know, we've sold out Jordan-Hare. We've sold out Jordan-Hare. You see it almost every year because we as fans are going to do that. We keep coming back because we want to support our Auburn Tigers because that's what you do, right? Am I wrong on that? Anybody? No. So... I saw in the comments, someone said, cool, now deliver. This is Golish's chance to deliver something the Auburn fan base has been starving for the past 5 years, to finally get it together and at least give us some hope. Because all we got out of the Hugh Freeze era is the you owe them something speech. That is it. And remind you, that was against South Alabama. South Alabama. No shade against South Alabama, but that's not some... You would think that's a speech that gets read during...
Actually, I think it was Ball State, which arguably is worse.
Oh, my God. That makes it 10 times worse.
I think it was the... Yeah, because I think it was the South Alabama game, we wore a white jersey, and in that video, they're all wearing blue. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it might have been Ball State, which I think that makes that so much worse, because Ball State's worse than South Alabama.
Yeah, and two, funny thing about that speech, there it is in a hype video for college football. You know,
that is blowing up right now.
Yeah, it is insanely good. Whoever did it, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. If you're somehow this comes across your feed, I don't know who you are, but God bless your soul. That was amazing. It got me ready for football season. But how this relates to all this, there's a streamer named Nick Merckx who I, you know, watch. And he comment or he put out a reaction to that speech and that the hype video. And I commented on his post. I said, out of all people that gave that speech, it had to be Hugh Freeze. And he ended up liking the comment and then so forth. You know, it started having a bunch of other people like it. But people agree that's really the only good thing. And people are responding to it. That's the only good thing to come out of a Hugh Freeze, you know, Auburn tenure is that speech. That is it. And the fact that it was against Ball State makes it that much funnier because it wasn't against a quality SEC opponent. It was against Ball State, who's not even a state, by the way, if you know your lore around here, around these parts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think to get off my soapbox for a minute about the initial quote from Cody Sigler. Is that his name? Cody Sigler? Am I saying that right?
Yep.
That is cut from the same DNA of the culture that Golish is installing in this program. And that's why I'm really excited to see what we have in store this football season. I'm really excited. And if you're an Auburn fan, you should be too. But yeah.
I was just looking at, because we were just, you know, talking about Auburn being competitive the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at the 2021 season. Wow, the start of that year had so much potential. We started off the year 6-2. With mm-hmm. wins against number 10 Ole Miss, number 17 Arkansas, and losses to number 10 Penn State and number 2 Georgia. We mm-hmm. started off the year 6-2 and then lost 7 straight games against at number 14 Texas A&M. But then we lost to unranked Mississippi State at home. And that was the game where we were up 28 to 10 at halftime and lost that game. Then we lost out at South Carolina the following week. And then we lost, oh my gosh. And then we lost in the Iron Bowl. And I think it was the 4 overtimes that the next week after that. And then we lost our bowl game against Houston. My goodness.
My God.
Like, since that little losing streak, you know, that little, like, you know, started 6-2, it just was down. It's just been downhill since that. Like, that was the moment. We have not recovered from that moment.
No, I'm telling y'all, there's no way it can get any worse. And I think that the culture that is being spread throughout the Auburn football program is starting to show with people like Cody Sigler and his comments today. I just think that is one example of many, because you saw it with the recruits. You saw it with the people that are currently there. You saw it with the people that transferred in. You've seen the media talk about how, you know, why they're so high on Auburn, why they think they're going to go 8-4, 9-3, somewhere in that, you know, general, you know, vicinity, because of the only thing that's really changed is the head coach. But besides that, the head coach brought the culture along with some players that followed him there. And Durkin, who already had an established defense at Auburn, with the current players that are there that are already established as defensive players under that Durkin system. So I personally, while I'm cautiously optimistic, I am very excited to see what we have in store, because I think if we get out on that field in Atlanta and we punch Baylor in the mouth early, whether it be offensively or defensively, or hell, even special teams somehow, however that looks, I really think we are in for a ride this season that is going to be a lot of fun. I really do. But yeah, other than that, don't forget to like and subscribe, Follow us wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to hit that like button.
Go follow all the socials too.
Yes. Yeah. You see some of the socials. Well, you can't see it obviously, but we'll be back hopefully at some point soon doing video again. And we'll be back as we used to be. So, but again, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McClain. This has been The Last Call. We appreciate y'all. Have a great rest of your night. As always, War Damn. We will see y'all next time.
See ya.